Good evening, everyone. Good to have you with us tonight. I want to ask you a question. If I asked you, what's the New Testament? Some people would say it's a letter of love. Some people would say, well, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people would call it the new law. All of those are true statements. I remember once sitting in a Bible class with a preacher named Phil Roberts, and he was talking about, ironically, the book of Revelation, and then digressed, as we know all preachers do. He digressed from that subject and began talking about the struggle that sometimes we have as Christians about the subject of authority and recognizing the kingship of the Lord, and then how to understand the New Testament and apply things, and calling into question that some sometimes do, that what are the examples that we're supposed to follow in the New Testament? And sometimes in those responses, people will often say that, well, we only need to follow the commands of Jesus Christ. But what Brother Robert said to me has stuck with me forever. And he said, the New Testament is just a big book of examples. That you can't look at the New Testament and say there's no examples to follow. And that's what tonight's lesson is about. It's a book of examples. The whole reason we were given the New Testament was not that we would theorize it, or that we would speculate about it, or that we would memorize it just for the purpose of parading ourselves as great quoters of Scripture. But rather it was written to be the grand example of what God wants us to know and to do. And so tonight I want to talk about the Bible speaks of examples. All throughout Scripture, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 to follow his example, as he told the Corinthian church. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2:21, we'll read there in a second, to follow the example of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, the writer of Hebrews says, to follow the example of leaders. And then Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, to set a good example for the brothers to follow. So all of these scriptures, just that set of four, immediately calls to mind this question. I have examples to follow. So who's my example? Another question you should ask yourself as you start thinking about this is not only as who is my example that I'm supposed to follow as a Christian, but whose example am I? Whose example am I? And what kind of example do I really set as a Christian? So if I ask you, well, who's your example as a Christian? The very first and most natural response we're going to give, as Paul did in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he said, follow my example even as I follow Christ. So Christ becomes that perfect and extreme example that brings to us this true reality. Even as I was just talking with someone just recently, a very sweet Christian, who related that their life to Jesus and the hardships he experienced with the light he was trying to share and be in the darkness that he was involved in, empowered them to feel stronger and to be more desirous of being right and being holy and being good. That's the power of example. Look in 1 Peter, if you would, the passage to which we already referred. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. He says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. That is not just a celebratory statement about the grand story of our redemption that Jesus Christ accomplished for us. Peter says outright from the very beginning that the very reason Jesus came to live in this life is to tell me how to live. When people treat me wrong, when people revile me, when people cause me suffering through threats, that's the example Jesus left for me. Not just for the preachers, not just for the elders, not just for the deacons, not just for those very strong and courageous men who lead the church, and not just for those good godly women that live their lives, all their lives, in the service of the great King Jesus Christ. Peter wrote that to every Christian. That's examples. The power of those examples should empower us to live like he would want us to. Romans chapter 15, listen to how Paul tells the church at Rome this. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, "Now we who are strong have to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell upon me." He set the example of how we're to please other people. We sometimes like to categorize Jesus as someone who was never a people pleaser. And I'm not going to argue that he was a people pleaser, but the Bible says very clearly in verse 2, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, for even Christ followed that example." That the things that he did was for their good in pleasing them. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, that he is our example on how we're to love one another. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, on how we're to forgive one another. And in Philippians chapter 2, the passage we always turn to, which says, "Have this attitude which was also in Christ Jesus, who looked not only out for his interests, but for the interests of others." Jesus certainly serves as our first and foremost powerful example of how we're supposed to live. The question is he really your example? What about the Apostle Paul? Is the Apostle Paul your example? Look, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, notice he says in verse 6, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in us you might learn not to exceed what is written, in order that no one of you might become arrogant in behalf of one against the other." It's a very powerful and significant text that Paul says to the church at Corinth, you can't just do what you want to do. But rather, he says in verse 6, that you might learn not to exceed what is written. But the key is, Paul says, you have learned that in us. Our example has taught you not to exceed what God has instructed us. Think about what he said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. He says in verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." So notice Paul says, here is this example that we're to follow, and he says, it is my example. So who is your example? Just as Paul urged the Corinthians, and here just as he urged the Philippians, Paul says the example is him, to follow in the steps that he has lived. Is Paul your example? Are you trying to live your life the way the Apostle Paul was living his? Then I want you to look again in Philippians chapter 3. Think about what he says in verse 17, the text we just read. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Not only does he say, follow in my example, he says, follow in the example you have seen in other Christians. So now the circle gets bigger. First, the circle begins with our Lord and Savior Christ, who is the head over all things to the church. He is the epitome of every example that we're to follow. Then Paul says, follow me even as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. And then to Philippi he says, and then why don't you follow all those Christians who are following my example? Who is your example? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it the Apostle Paul? Or even as Paul said to the church at Philippi, is it your fellow Christians who are exhorted to follow in this example, just like Paul was leading them in their example? Now, I want you to make this point in verse 17. According to the pattern that you have in us. We're all setting a pattern. The way we talk, the way we dress, the way we laugh, the way we joke, the way we carry ourselves every day. What kind of pattern are you setting? Whose example are you following? Many Christians today provide examples, many worthy of emulation. There are people in this assembly right now who privately do so many things worthy of great commendation. There are people who have come across my life in so many different ways and in so many different things that have set for me a profound example. I think of one lady named Bessie who lived in Florida. She and her husband had never had children. And when I met her, her husband had passed away. But when she tells me the story of her life, she describes many nights when they would come to Bible study on Sunday night, or they would come to Bible study on Wednesday night. And it would be her and her husband arriving there on Sunday, setting up the communion, and then they would wait because there is snow on the ground and just a trickling of people would come in, and then they would worship. They never complained about the number. They never complained about that they were all alone. They never complained that everyone expected them always to do the communion. And they never had children. And so what they did with their life is they saved all their money so they could support the preaching of the gospel wherever it was needed. She was always looking, when I met her, looking for, she would always ask me, have you heard of any places that the gospel needs support? What a powerful example she was. Who is your example? Is it the Lord Jesus? Is it the Apostle Paul? Is it other faithful Christians? The Bible says you're supposed to follow those examples. We're not supposed to make excuses. We're not supposed to say, well, I can't. We're not supposed to say, well, that was Jesus. That was Paul. Well, that was them. The Bible says, follow my example. So the next question that I ask for all of us is not just whose example do you follow, but whose example are you? I hate this part of the sermon because there are times in my life when I know very much that I haven't set the good example that I should. But for all of us, we need to remind ourselves of this question. Whose example are you? Well, first of all, you're an example to every brother and sister of the Lord that you know. Everyone. It doesn't matter if they're 10. It doesn't matter if they're 100. When I met Bessie Parker, she was over 90. You are an example to your brothers and your sisters. especially imagining the fact that you're an example to babies in Christ. And I use that word intentional, babies in Christ. Christians who have just become followers of Jesus Christ, and then they come up just like children out of the waters of baptism, and they're looking for people to guide them. If they followed you, where would they go? Even those of us who are, and I have to start saying that, those of us who are older Christians. Will the cantankerousness of our life, or the bitterness of things that have happened in our life with other Christians, will those things pour out into the lives of other Christians? Is it not other Christians that we are an example to? Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, listen to what Paul says about that church. When he says in verse 6, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." That text particularly applies to them as a collective, as a group. But I'd like for you to look in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, notice what he says in verse 7. Beginning in verse 6, "Likewise urge the young men to be sensible. In all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine dignified." There he tells even young men that the decisions that we make reflect an example that's supposed to model the examples that we follow. Jesus, the Apostle Paul, and other Christians. But not only is it other Christians that we become an example for, it's young children. You're just talking about my kids. Okay, I am. It's frightening sometimes when I watch my children mimicking a habit of mine that I think is kind of, I'm sorry that they mimic it. But our children learn behavior just by watching us. We don't even have to say this is the way you're supposed to do things. They just watch us. And that's frightening. I didn't sign up for that when I became a parent, but lo and behold, there it was. But I'm not even just talking about that. Children watch you if you're not the parent. Like I watched Lois Tyner at Highland Boulevard in San Antonio. Like I watched James and Vernell Trigg at Highland Boulevard in San Antonio. Like I watched Stanley Lovett at Highland Boulevard in San Antonio. Every one of those people who were not my parents modeled for me the life of Christianity that I could see and made me want to be a Christian. All of the young children in our assembly watch you. What do they see? All the young children in your neighborhood watch you. What do they see? All the young children in the schools, all the young children on the playground, what do they see? What example are you to them? But I want you to look at one more passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 11, Peter says this, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust which wage war against the soul, and keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." So then not only am I supposed to be an example to other Christians as a Christian, Not only am I to be an example to young children as a Christian, but I'm to be an example to the world. We sing that song, Christ has no hands but our hands. A song that speaks strongly to the heart of making a Christian see the power of his example. But let me try to make one last observation in all of this to encourage us. Is that when Jesus was setting his example, I'm sure that not every moment he was thinking, the rest of the world will see this. In fact, it was his choice probably every day as he rose to live his life in a way that honored his Father and followed his Father's instruction. So there was never for him a worry that today is a day I need to have a good example. It's because he rose the day, as he began the day, it was to be what God wanted him to be as his son. And that's why we look to Jesus Christ as the perfect example, because in that he never sinned. The Apostle Paul and other faithful Christians of the first century, every one of them were sinners. And every one of them, in their example, failed and flawed, like you and I would be, live their lives every day waking, trying to think, what am I going to do to honor God and how am I going to live God? And they made mistakes. But they rose every day. They helped make their choices based upon the fact that what I am doing is more important than what I want to do. That what I am doing is so important that others need to see Jesus in what I do. So whose example are you? Is it not other Christians? Is it not young children? Is it not unbelievers? All of us in this room have that task as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So when you ask yourself those kind of questions, and we become very stimulated with the reality, Don, I am very, very inconsistent. Well, then let me encourage you that if you'll wake every morning with the desire to be faithful, that will help you in your example. Just like when you wake every morning, I am not going to eat coconut cream pie today. A choice that you make as you rise in the day, I am not going to do that. It empowers you to make the choices that will show the world what it means to be a Christian, that will show little children or even babes in Christ what it means to be a Christian, and it will help your brothers and your sisters in the work of the church. But not only when you rise every morning are you going to say, will I be faithful? But ask yourself, will I be helpful? Offering a noble example is what Jesus lived to do. Offering a noble example was the example that the Apostle Paul lived in, sacrificing so much so that the gospel could be sent out through him. Example upon example upon example that we extol throughout the New Testament of people who gave up things that they needed or gave up things that they wanted so that what they could do would be better for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They showed themselves to be helpers. Wake up every morning that will help your example with not just the choice, I'm going to be faithful today, but I'm going to be helpful today. And that reorients all of your choices. Instead of asking yourself, what will others do for me? Instead of asking yourself, what can others accomplish for me? Suddenly reorienting your life says, now what can I do to help others? And then you'll discover what kind of example you'll really be. Because if faithfulness and helpfulness is what's driving your choices throughout your day, the example that you'll be like Jesus. The example that you will be like the Apostle Paul. The example that you will be just like these New Testament Christians described in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, to follow in their example. Because the question is not, can you be copied? The question is, and the statement is, you will be copied. You can be an example because you already are. But you can be an example because you already are of the kind of faithful Christian that all these examples are in front of you, leading you in. The example of Jesus Christ, the example of the Apostle Paul, the example of other Christians, and all the example of other Christians who have crossed your life to empower you, to strengthen you, to be all you can be. You can be copied because you will be copied. But choose tomorrow, choose every day, that the decision that you'll make in everything that you do as you set that example is to be faithful and hopeful. Because the power of examples is in the doing. That's why the New Testament is full of examples. To empower us to do just that. Take out your songbook. Turn to the number announced. And this evening, if you need to make right anything in your life, letting us pray with you, we'd be happy to do that. And if you know you need to become a Christian by being baptized, we plead with you to let your wishes be known as together we stand and as we sing.